What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Last night here on these airwaves, Predators in Colorado. That's all, folks. Predators in Colorado at Bridgestone Arena. It'll be Bridgestone Arena tomorrow night when the Preds host the Sabres. Back here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase, our show is presented by Creation CBD, products curated for life. Speaking of Predators, tonight, Smashville Live. During the 6 o'clock hour here on these airwaves, special guests, the captain, Roman Josi, and Mikhail Granlund. You're going to want to check that out. That'll be a fun hour during the 6 o'clock hour. You can also watch it on the game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. Don't forget Smashville Live all season long, Wednesday nights during the 6 o'clock hour, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. You just heard him on the call. Max Herz filling in, doing his first ever NHL game last night for Pete Weber, who, of course, had tested positive out in Glendale, Arizona. We had to simulcast the game Saturday night against the Coyotes with the television feed with Willie and Hal Gill. Last night you had Chris Mason back in the fold in the booth with Willie. Hal Gill slid back over into the radio side of things, and he was doing the game with our man Max Herz, who absolutely crushed it last night. And it's we're hearing, by the way, Pete, I've been texting back and forth with him. He's doing fine, and hopefully we'll be back in the mix here very, very soon. But, Max, you did a fantastic job last night. Now that you've had time to sleep it off, what was it like when you woke up today and kind of recapped last night for you personally?
Man, first off, thank you, Darren. I appreciate it. I want to thank all the people who trusted me and helped pick me. I know Willie and Chase recommended me quite a bit from the radio station side, and Bill Wickett from the Predators was the one who had the final decision. And I had never met Bill before yesterday, so for him to trust somebody who's in his 20s, who works for the flagship station, but is not a team employee, is not someone he never met, to fill in for a game or two, that really meant a lot. So I want to say a thank you to everyone who advocated for me, but you guys especially, as well as Bill, and I know Chase isn't on, but the three of you and Bill especially. So big thank you to everybody. I saw both of you guys after the game. It was by far the most tired I've ever been after announcing a game. And the way my broadcast brain works, I'm usually, after calling a game on radio, I'm usually really wired for like 3 hours afterward. After I call a game on TV, I'm usually pretty tired. And yesterday, even though it was on radio, I was as tired as I've ever been.
And I can vouch for that, because yeah. I saw you at the end of post game, and you were not the Energizer Bunny. It looked like somebody taking a couple of the batteries out of the back.
Yeah, I guess I just peaked so high during the game, adrenaline wise. I'd never called a game with even half of that crowd size that was there last night. I think the biggest crowd I've ever done play by play at a game for is probably in the 8,000 range at a basketball game for Vandy women's basketball. And I think obviously the NHL is its own animal, and hockey itself is its own animal in terms of how fast it was and getting you going. But I think the crowd was a big part of it. I never felt anything like that before. I broadcast the entire game with my right ear flap on the headphones off so I could really hear the crowd noise, and I think that really elevated me.
Yeah, you stopped by yesterday at Patron Platinum Club during our show. It was during lunchtime hour. You were with Brooks Bratton and just talking about all that. And you did bring that up to me, the attendance thing. I'd never even thought about that. You brought that up to me last night. So what was going through your mind throughout the course of yesterday leading up to that game? Because you would never know that was your first NHL game. And by the way, good job on Tanner Janot's the first goal of the game. It took all of 2.5 minutes for you to call your first NHL goal, so that was pretty cool. But like, what was going through your mind? You know, here you are filling these big shoes in Pete Weber, the GOAT, and doing your first NHL game. Yeah, you've got the luxury of having a guy like Hal Gill next to you, so who can certainly help any broadcaster. But what were the layers of the course of the day like? And especially when it was getting time, you know, for pregame, and you're going to do a couple, you know, you're going to do the visit to the booth with me, and then of course puck drop. What was that like throughout the course of the day?
My plan the entire time was to keep it as simple as humanly possible, and being on radio helps with that because my philosophy for radio, mostly with baseball, for Vanderbilt baseball, but my radio philosophy is, even if nothing's going on, somebody is doing something, and you can say whatever somebody's doing, and that can be the broadcast. And in hockey, where something's always going on, my priorities A, B, C, and D were where's the puck, who has the puck, and then what's the score of the game. So I wanted to keep that as simple as humanly possible, and I think I did a good job of that. I think such a big thing in hockey, the way the game is currently thought about, is zone time, zone entries, controlled entries, face-off location, who's starting in the D zone, who's starting in the O zone, things like that. So I probably said the word zone 5,000 times, but you knew where the puck was. So that was really my big game plan. I kept it simple. I left all of the opinion analysis, big stuff to Hal, who is as good as it gets for any NHL analyst anywhere, TV, radio. We're so lucky to have him here, and we at the station are lucky to have him as much as we do. And yeah, just as the day went on, I just tried to keep it as simple as I could. I didn't want to talk too fast, which I hope I didn't do. I don't think I did much of it. And another big thing was just, and I talked to Willie about this during the day yesterday while I was filling out my spotting boards, just kind of names and numbers, things like that. I needed to know everybody's name and number. That was the big thing because I knew I wasn't going to have time to look down at notes or anything like that like you can in most of the other sports I've done, in football, baseball, basketball, whatever it is. If you see number 5 has possession and you go, oh, who's number 5? You can look down for a second. And in hockey, that's a sport where you can't really do that. So as Willie advised me, I watched the Avs game Monday night. It was very helpful to me that I got to watch that game live after I found out I was doing the game. I'm really happy the Avs were the opponent because, as I said to you during the visit to the booth, Darren, this is a team where if you're a hockey fan, you know pretty much everybody on this roster. It's either young stars who are big names or established veterans. So, like, McCarr. Everybody knows Cale Makar. Everybody knows Nathan MacKinnon. Everybody knows Mikko Rantanen. And having watched the NHL, you know guys like Valnichushkin and Burakovsky and Kadri and guys like that. So I just wanted to make sure I knew everybody's name and number. I didn't want to do too much other than the basics. And I hope everybody knew where the puck was. That's my biggest thing.
You did a good job with the names. Willie and I have had these conversations and good laughs over the years of, you know, hockey names can certainly be tricky. In fact, to your point, though, Colorado didn't make it easy for you on the first goal because I literally blurted out in Patron. I was like, when you called the goal, I was like, who the hell is that? And you did a good job with his name. I'll admit, like you said, Colorado has got tons of star power. I'm very familiar with their roster, but I really wasn't up on, is it Abe Kubel?
Are you talking about Abe Kubel?
Whoever.
I wish his name was Abe. Abe would be a lot easier to say.
Abraham.
When you said it, I was like, who the hell is that?
So I told Willie this yesterday. Here is my story about how I found out the proper way to say Nicholas Abbé Cubel's hyphenated French name, despite the fact that he's from Alberta, but he's very much a Quebecois. But I always try to find videos of players saying their own name if I can't walk up to them and ask them themselves. And, like, there's an NHL pronunciation guide, and I heard how the Avs announcers say anything, but I always like to self-verify if I can. So I just kind of look at interviews on YouTube and see if I can find any interview where it's, like, just the player on camera where they will introduce themselves at the beginning and say their name in their own voice and pronunciation. And I found one for Nick Abbé-Cubel, and it was so perfect because he wasn't by himself in the video, but it was when he was on the Flyers, and it was during COVID, and he was playing virtual charades with Gritty. And Gritty doesn't speak. So I knew that at some point he was going to say his own name, and he said it, and it's Abbé-Cubel.
Good
for
you.
Of course, this is the dilemma for all the announcers, because that's not how the Avs guys say it. So we're in the, you get into a dilemma. Which way do we go? But we'll leave that for another day. But Max, I think it's funny because you think there's a lot of people that you get a chance to jump in for a game or two, and man, you hit the jackpot with the game just the way it went. A 5-4 overtime game. There's plenty of times where you get a game where, you know, maybe the stands are half full and it's a dud. It's, you know, 3 or 4 to nothing or something like that. But you got the grand slam.
Yeah, it's always a cool feeling to attend a big game. It's always fun to look in an out-of-town scoreboard. I don't even know if the Preds still have out-of-town scores anywhere with the new ribbon boards. But it's always fun to look at the out-of-town scores in any sport when you're at a game and see either there are no other games going on and you're like a primetime standalone game, or looking at all the games and you think, we're playing the most important game right now. And I think it's a pretty easy argument that last night's game was the most important game in the NHL last night. I know Rangers-Vegas is pretty similar in point totals, but that's a cross-conference game. This is a division game. So to me, this was the biggest game. The game was absolutely loaded. Bjosi and Makar lived up to the hype. I thought the Preds did a great job on McKinnon. I think this was the first time I'd ever seen him play in person. He's unbelievable, and the Preds controlled him outside of a single power play one-timer, and there ain't much you can do about that one when they set it up right. So it was an unbelievable game, one of the greatest regular season hockey games I've ever been to, and probably better than a ton of the playoff games I've ever been to, and it was the first major pro event I ever got to announce. So, yeah, I'm unbelievably thankful, and I agree with you fully.
Well, people might be curious to know, you know, you haven't done a lot of hockey in your lifetime. You go where the opportunity takes you, I know, but you did grow up watching a lot of hockey, and of course, let people know what you've been doing behind the scenes with us. You know, you work for our station, but you've been working alongside the Predators broadcast team just behind the scenes. But you put all that together, that's how you were preparing yourself for this possibility.
Yeah, so the last 4 years working for 102.5 The Game, I've been, and I absolutely love doing this, I've been one of the highlight producers for the radio network. And depending on which year it's been, there usually 3 or 4 of us. I learned how to do it from Josh Upton, who learned it from Ian Safar, who learned from Ryan Porth, and now Jared Cassidy, David Janes, and Nick Kieser, and some other folks do it. And I try to do as many games as I can as my schedule and other work allows. But when the Preds radio broadcast is going on, there are two of us, regardless if it's a home game or an away game, there are two people at the radio station. One of them is on the soundboard, turning everybody off and on and doing audio levels and playing the commercials. And the other person is editing highlights and editing Pete and Hal's calls as they happen. So that's what I've done. I've probably done it for a good somewhere between 50 and 75 games at this point, maybe more. But I absolutely love it. And I always viewed it as doing play-by-play using Pete and Hal's voices and telling the story of the game as best as I can. And the highlights that play at period breaks and at the end of the game, those are all cut by that person doing that job. And usually turned around pretty quickly. And it's great because we have total editorial freedom with it. So my thing is, unless there's a period with a lot of goals, to me, a fight is always a highlight. And I know the league doesn't really think that anymore, but hey, it's my highlight mix. So I'm always going to put the fight in. But being in there a lot, I know exactly how the broadcast worked, how the format worked. I know what Hal is best at, which is honestly everything. So I kind of know the rhythm of how he operates, and I know how funny they are, too. I wasn't going to try and be too funny just because I'm nowhere near as funny as Pete and don't have the multi-year relationship with Hal that he has. But I've heard the broadcast 50 times over, and if someone else had stepped in, I think that's another thing that would legitimately slow somebody down. I think it really did help me feel at ease with it.
Well, we've talked about last night's game. Now get ready for tomorrow night.
I know. Yeah. Do the Sabres have any goalies?
Well, they did very well last night. They didn't do very well last night. They got beat
smoked.
6-1. Yeah.
That Kucherov guy is pretty good.
Got hurt in that game in goal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Apparently, he is 12 hours later, he went from playing in the game to month to month. So that does not sound good.
Oh, no, it does not sound good. Max, great job. Thanks for coming on, and look forward to talking to you tomorrow night. But in all seriousness, really, really good job last night. A lot of people were talking about it, and rightfully so. You did a fantastic job filling in for Pete Weber.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. Thanks for the support always. It was a dream come true. So thank you to everyone who's reached out, whether I responded or not. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
There you go, Max Hirsch. He will be back at it tomorrow night when the puck drop is at 7 o'clock. He'll be doing it with Skillsy there in the booth. And hopefully Pete is continuing to do well, and he'll be back sooner rather than later, because after tomorrow night, the next game is a little matinee hockey. Saturday in Boston, so a noon puck drop hour time, so pregame at 11. I'm going to call that kegs and eggs, especially for Skillsy, you know. In Boston, matinee, kegs and eggs for that game. That should be a good one,
too. I like it. Yeah, there you go.
By the way, that Kucherov guy, he's played like, what, 4 games this year, and he already has a hat trick? He's pretty good. He's been hurt a lot. A lot.
Yep.
I wonder how much they're talking about that in Tampa.
It's nice to have a team that's so deep that
right.
You can go long stretches without them and still be okay. And then when you get them, you become unstoppable.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back. But right now, I think you're going to tell everybody about Lee Company.
Actually, it'll be Lone Pronto, yes, but close enough.
L sponsor.
Wrong L. Right letter, wrong sponsor. But let's get the right sponsor. We've got a word from Lone Pronto, and the Lone Pronto that we've been talking about is the same in 2022 that it was towards the end of 2021. The mortgage rates are really favorable for you right now, and home values are very, very high. So you can take advantage of that and get your finances in great shape for 2022. By using Loan Pronto to your advantage, and that is to get cash out of your home's equity with a super fast, no-cost refi from Loan Pronto. Those home values in our listening area are skyrocketing. They continue to. There's always great stories about that. So use that to your advantage. And if you certainly need some cash, this is a great thing to think about. They can fast-track your home refi, get you a check for 50, 60, 70 grand or more. And if you call now, Loan Pronto can even pay your closing costs. It's easy. If you walk away, and then you walk away with the ability to go address financial needs, pay off a high interest credit card if you need to, consolidate other loans, get rid of PMI charges, or fix up your new home right now, or I shouldn't say your new home, fix up your home and add with a new kitchen, a bath, and you get more home value out of it. So now's the time to access that equity while the rates are still favorable to you. And that's the case right now. So call Lee Loan Pronto. You can close in 2 weeks, and the process is easy. You can even skip your next two house payments. Call 615-499-5780 for Loan Pronto. 615-499-5780 or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781. Subject to lender approval, not all loans apply.
Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you, Elijah Campbell, at our Hillside Medical Games Studios. Our show is presented by Gratian CBD, products curated for life. We'll talk to Chris Mason coming up at 1 o'clock. He was back in the booth with Willie. We'll discuss all things Preds and hockey with him coming up to begin the final hour. Good stuff there from Max Herz. I do want to ask you, Colorado's second goal, there were a lot of people questioning why the play wasn't blown dead when Orvietsky got hit by the puck and went down with just over 8 minutes to go in the period, and the play continued on, and it resulted in a Colorado tying second goal of the evening. Howell seemed to be fine with it on the broadcast and with me in postgame. What say you? Did you guys discuss it much on the television side of things? Obviously, Borowiecki was down for a while, would leave the game, would not return. What did you make of that play?
I heard your guys' discussion about it after the game, and I think Hal makes some excellent points. And I think he used the word that comes into play in a lot of these things that we discuss when there are calls made that go for or against you. Discretion. There is a discretion that is used by the referee in situations like that. You know, technically, I asked Brent Peterson right at the end of the period too what he thought, and he saw the same thing that Hal saw, is when a player's down on the ice, technically you don't blow the whistle until the defensive team touches the puck. Once they touch the puck, then they'll blow the play dead and the player can leave the ice. Now, when you do that, there's got to be discretion. If a guy's in a dangerous position and is down and out, then I think they do have the discretion to blow the whistle if they see fit. Now, I think Hal, you know, said this without saying it. You know, you don't want to have soccer, right, where a guy goes down commonly in the game and he looks like he might be really hurt. If you never watched a soccer game before and you see a guy go down and he's writhing in pain, you're like, oh my gosh, that guy's really hurt. But we know, you watch enough soccer, the guy's not hurt. Now in hockey, that
well,
is frowned upon.
I brought up the college football reference.
That's another, right?
Was,
now that's a tactical
thing. It
was so
thing. Prevalent here in the Music City Bowl, right? And it's
right.
It's been a problem in college football, yes.
Right. Using it as a tactical move to slow the game down or stop when you're on the ropes a little bit. And so that would be a tactical move. A guy sort of acts like, hey, I might be really hurt here. I'm going to stay down but in the meantime, my team's on the ropes.
Yep.
And I can bail us out. I think it was pretty clear that Mark Borowiecki was in serious pain, you know, was not able to get up, and he was – you know, if the puck traveled a different way, he might have been lying there and guys would have been forced to try to skate right over top of him or somehow try to avoid him. It didn't happen. So I understood why they didn't blow the whistle. The play kind of went away from Borowiecki, and I think the ref was watching it closely, but he let the play go, and then Burakovsky just rips an unbelievable shot into the net. Meanwhile, What else happened on that play? This is also what we looked at on our broadcast. UC Saros lost his stick. Nazem Kadri knocked it out of his hand, but when we looked at the replay, it, certainly the Predators were looking at this.
Benning looks like
he was not in the
helped.
Blue ice. Benning kind of guided Kadri into him, and Saros, I thought, sort of extended his stick out, tried to almost create a little space so he could make the save, and in doing so, he lost his stick in the process. So they did not challenge for goaltender interference. I, you can get yourself in trouble when you just kind of shoot your mouth off early and say that should be this or that should be that. So I think we try to be very conscious of not, you know, assuming that the refs are wrong. But you do watch the Predators go over right away. Ryan Johansson, you know, as the play is going, he's looking at the ref going, hey, our guy's down. Can you blow the whistle? But by rule, they don't have to blow the whistle there. And Ryan Johansson knows that, but you're hoping to get the benefit of the doubt. But I didn't have a problem with the call. Now, there's certainly a call at the end of the game that the Avs still have a problem with.
Oh, my gosh, man. They were vocal. The fans, the Avs fans on social media last night were losing their minds over the too many men on the ice.
That's another call that, and this is how I understand it. Maybe Mace can weigh in on this as well when we get him on. But I think, again, there's a little discretion the referee has when the puck goes over by the bench and there's a line change being made. So remember what happened. In the closing minutes of regulation, they got a too many men on the ice. And that gave the Predators a huge chance on the power play to maybe win it in regulation. And the Avs killed it off. Now, that one was a no-brainer, right? We circled it. There were six guys on the ice, all in the Predator zone. That was too many men on the ice. In the overtime, I think it was Nathan MacKinnon that was going off the ice. Mikko Rantanen is coming on the ice. Now, there's a point in time where they're both on there, right? They're both on there at the same time. So there's four guys on the ice. But when you're close to the bench and you're making a change, there is a little grace period area. There's an area near the bench where you and I could be changing for one another, Darren, and we might be on the ice at the same time. But as long as you're going off and I'm coming on and we time it right, they're going to let it go. What's tricky is when the puck comes in there, right? And you maybe gain an advantage by collecting a pass when you're coming on the ice before I've really gotten off the ice. And that's where it's hairy. And I have to be honest in looking at it. The Avs didn't get any benefit of the doubt on that at all. A lot of times, the discretion of the referee, they let that go. But we've also seen line changes in a 3-on-3 where the guy does, quote, cheat a little bit, and he gains a big advantage from coming out early. But the referee's like, well, it was a line change. I gave him a little grace period there, gave him a little leeway. So they were held strictly to the rule there. That's my interpretation of it. The Avs people went nuts, right? The you mentioned the fans. Their broadcast certainly broke down the video of it. And as soon as Matt Duchene scored the goal, you saw Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar, I think, were the two. I know it was MacKinnon. They were all over the referee. And, of course, there's nothing they can do. The game's over. But they still wanted to skate over to the refs before they left the ice and give him an earful.
Well, Rantanen, I know, was going – he's pretty animated when it was originally called. I know that.
Oh, heck yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I was watching – I told Hal this in postgame. I was watching the players were obviously animated. They did not agree. But I was watching – I wanted to see what the coaches were doing, and they didn't really do anything. Like, they were not animated. They were not – you know, screaming for the official to come over, like, I want to talk. You know, was it Peter Laviolette taking the two steps down, taking his gum out, waving for him to come over here, you know, that we've had fun with for years? I was watching
right.
The Colorado coaches, and
yeah.
They didn't really do anything. The players were saying stuff.
I know. And they, you know, maybe some fans were like, I wish he would go crazy. You know, Jared Bednar, I guess, generally speaking, is not really a hothead that yells and screams at the officials.
Yeah, but it's John Hines, often, but he's been pretty animated lately.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was one the other night in Arizona. We know that they're still trying to wrap their arms around whether you can challenge or not on that particular play, the high stick play.
No question.
But I Bednar, I think, too, he wanted to look at the video before he said anything. He did say something in his postgame press conference. He goes, I've seen the video. I don't like the explanation that they gave us. Generally speaking, if, you know, as Rantanen's coming on, MacKinnon's going off, what Rantanen did, that this is what the Colorado side of things said, and this is true, if the guy waits and he doesn't play the puck until he's sure that MacKinnon is off the ice, then 9 times out of 10, maybe 95 out of 100, they're going to give you that, and they're not going to call that. So they were held to a strict, and they probably may. You have to watch closely in a 3-on-3 when there's so much open ice, and that can mean the difference of a big scoring chance or not. But I certainly see what they were saying, but give the Predators credit for cashing in. They got the opportunity, and they made the most of it.
Yeah, going back to the original part of this discussion. I don't want to see it. Look, I understand, and I want to be sensitive because obviously Borowiecki wasn't. I mean, he's a tough guy. He's not faking anything. We know you block a shot like that, man. That's this just in. Those pucks aren't Nerf. They hurt. They hurt a lot.
Oh man.
And but I don't, and I know it directly resulted in the Colorado goal. So that's the part that stinks about it. But it was pretty quick, and I don't want to see them get to the examples that we were just talking about where soccer, I do think it's a huge problem. College football, we know it's a huge problem. I mean, it does go on at the NFL level too, just not to the degree of college football. I don't want – because this is what happens. You give athletes an inch, there's always going to be athletes that are going to take that a mile, right? They don't – they're you give them wiggle room –
yeah,
there's always going to be ones that'll, you know, that's going to make it bad for everybody because they're going to, you know, they're going to do something that they're always, there's just certain athletes that are always looking for an edge, always. And they don't care what it takes to get that edge. And so they're going to cross the line or they're going to do stuff like that. And I don't want to see it get to that because it's an embarrassment in college football. Now, Vince Ferrara came on here and said, he absolutely believes, from a conversation here with Steve Shaw and WNML and others that in things he's been reading, that they're going to change it. I'll have to believe it. You know, I'll have to see it to believe it on the college football front because it's an embarrassment. Like all the faking.
Yeah, they have to do something.
And I don't want to see that happen. The point is, I don't want to see that happen in hockey because I feel like if you start calling
because it
that
penalizes
stuff.
The guy that does actually get hurt, like Borowiecki. By the way, I really hope he's okay and it's not super serious because we don't know at this point. You know, maybe we'll find out a little bit more tomorrow. You know, hopefully, like Hal said last night, you know, he caught that puck and it's just a deep, deep bruise. But, you know, if it hits you just right, we know it can be worse than that. So let's hope. But to your point, Darren, in the college football, it's not a problem in hockey, right? It's a tough moment in time for the ref. Things happen so fast. That's what makes it so hard to officiate this game. You got to give the referees some slack because all this happens in a snap, and you're supposed to get it right every time. So you have to make a decision. Do I blow the whistle or do I not when a guy's down? It's not generally a situation where players fake it very often, but I have seen people go down, look like they're really hurt, and then pop up, and they're in there on the next shift. So it does happen. But in college football, I agree with you. It's got to a point where it's tactical, and it penalizes a kid who actually is hurt. James Franklin went on that diatribe. Mm-hmm. But by and large, I think you have to make some sort of adjustment to the rule.
Yeah, because I just know how athletes work and their minds think, and
they're competitive.
They're competitive, and there's going to be guys that are going to take
advantage. Looking for an edge. They're looking
for
an edge,
and they're going to take advantage of it. And the next thing you know, you've got a huge problem in the sport where, you know, everybody can feel it out there on the ice. Whenever, you know, we always say the ice is, you know, tilted, and it's going, you know, the wrong direction for you, and you need to slow things down, or you need a stoppage. And that stuff will start happening, and I don't want to see that in the sport. It's a problem in other sports, and I don't want to see that in hockey because right now it's not a problem. And while it stinks that it resulted in a Colorado goal, I don't want to see them change anything. And I'm not suggesting that they are. I'm just saying for all the fans who are upset, like, why didn't they blow that play dead? You know, I thought it was the right. I'm okay with how it played out because I don't want to see them blowing plays dead every time someone goes down on the ice because I just feel like it's going to result in exactly what we've been talking about with soccer and college football. Like I said, Chris Mason coming up at 1 o'clock, more on the other side. But I want to talk to you about the folks at Creation CBD. You hear me talk about them every single day because they present our show, and we're really thankful for that. And also, we use their products here in this house, and it's something that we believe in, and they can help you if you have aches and pains on your body, whether it's from just being really active. That could happen. It can be just because your body is starting to break down. It can be because you're just getting older. I mean, things happen, and you're looking for a solution like me. Well, Creation CBD could be that. It means healing, and that right there says a lot. It's locally and organically sourced CBD products from right here in Middle Tennessee. From seed to final cell, Kreshion is passionate about providing quality products for everyday use. So if you've got back pains, you've got knee pains, you've got wherever pain, shoulder pains, neck pains, hey, they've got products for everyday use that can help you in that department. Plus, your pets too. Maybe you have a pet that has high anxiety, whether it's when you guys leave the house and they freak out, or bad storms, thunderstorms, they freak out. They've got pet treats that can help calm your pets down. Also, if you've got a medical condition with your pet, whether it's your dog at home, like our situation with our female German Shepherd, where she has seizures and she's had them for 3+ years, and a lot of them, and every pill and every vet visit, and it never changed anything, and we've put her on the pet tincture, and everything has changed. The seizures have gone away. She's back to being a dog again. She's lost weight. She has energy, and so it has been a game changer for her and for us. So if any of these things apply to your household, or all of these things apply to your household, do me a favor. When you go to KreshionCompany.com and you're checking out with your order, use the code DDC25. DDC25, that'll get you 25% off your order. It's Kreshion CBD, curated for life. Green Day bringing us back here on the DDC. Let's go to Nate on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up?
Hey, guys. I did not even think about what Hal had said last night with, you know, the Omicron variant still going on and it being, affecting the officials.
Which, you know what, Nate? I didn't either. I meant to bring that up, and that really grabbed my attention, too. I hadn't really thought about that.
But what's funny is, I mean, I know it's definitely not to the extent, but when he brought that up, I was like, oh, the replacement NFL refs. It was just a funny thought that I had. But, yeah, I just wanted to bring up the affected officials. So.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. I meant to bring that up in this discussion that we're having. Hal did drop that in my lap last night during postgame, like, hey, you know, don't forget the officials are being affected. It's not just players and coaches. These teams getting affected by positive tests and broadcasters. And, you know, the officials are too. And I was like, now, it wasn't the case last night, but he was just making a point.
No, I don't think it was. I think you had regular guys.
Yeah, but he was making a point league-wide that has been going on too. And, it never crossed my mind. I don't know why it wouldn't. I mean, it's not like we think officials would be exempt from the virus, but I had never really thought about that. Has that been an issue? Is that something you guys have been discussing on the road?
The one that called my attention to it originally was, Tim Peel put it out there, this could happen, that you could have some positive tests and it could test your depth of officials that are out there. So I don't know. You know, both of those guys last night were guys that do a lot of games. So that certainly was not something in play. I don't know. I haven't seen any stories done on it to know if there's any games where there's been some rookies or call-ups that have been pressed into duty. So I really don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, Hal wasn't suggesting it was affecting last night. It was in play last night. He was just saying as a whole, and I was like, huh. Interesting, because I did bring up the instigator with David Poyle yesterday, and he was like, oh, boy.
Well, that's definitely one.
Remember, I brought it up. Asked me that.
I brought it up before that because I was, we've just seen a lot of games where the same thing happens, and sometimes it's called one way, sometimes the other. Mm-hmm. And so that's definitely one they got to look at. I fall back on this. It's a hard game to officiate. That is, things are happening so fast out there that if you blink, if you look the wrong way, you just heard like Max Hurst, his perspective on, you literally can't take your eye off the game as the announcer. If you look down, if you forget a guy's number and you look down to look at it, you might miss something that happens in a split second. That could happen to a referee. You know, you're looking for one thing and, there's only two guys out there. You could miss stuff. So it's inevitable you're going to have these discussions. But you just try to be as, you know, try to do the best you can. And, you know, we're talking about a lot of different things here. I don't know the answer to Hal's question or theory. We just know in everyday life, there's people left and right that are testing positive, having to rotate out. Hopefully you're vaxxed and you're safe and everything, and you come back in when it's time to come back in. But in the meantime, you're in a pinch. So that easily could happen to officials, just like it's happening to teams and, you know, workers out there in the workplace and all around society.
Yeah. It is good to be a sports fan in this market right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Man. I think everybody can feel it on the Titans side of things. I mean, it's obviously got to play out. It's not a given. It hasn't worked thus far in this market as the one seed, but you know, every time is a new time. So, you know, that what's happened in the past is the past. And the last time was 08, so that was kind of a long time ago. Different regime. But just pointing out, the other two times it didn't work out. This one feels different. And, you know, the Predators are sitting atop the Western Conference. I mean, they're approaching the midway point of their season. I mean, they're about ready to be, you know, next week will be the midway point of the season, the regular season, of an 82-game season. So, you know, I think it's even the biggest doubters out there, it would be hard for you to say this is a fluke, right? I think once you've played this many games, or let's just say getting to the midway point next week, I think it's, if you're throwing out there doubt, it's just, you're just somebody who's wanting to say that you're not going to change your mind no matter what. Like, this team is, like, kind of, this is what they are. I'm not saying that they're going to end up being the one seed. I'm saying what they're doing is not a fluke. Like, this is what they are, and they're a way better team than I guess everybody thought they were going to be. Because a lot of the question marks that we talked about have come to roost, where it's happened, you know, Johansson's numbers and Duchesne's numbers and Philip Forsberg year that he's having. Tanner Janot, what was it? That 15 games, the 5 goals in 15 games, can that actually continue in a full season? Well, we know the answer to that. Just the list goes on and on and on. Oh, by the way, they're what, 3 points out from being the number one team in the league? I think the last time, when I looked last night.
Now, they've played more games than some of the other teams, but I tend to agree with you. The more that you see what they put out there every night, you like what they've got. Now, we know, knock on wood, you know, injuries and all those things could put you in a bind, but they have a strong foundation and strong formula, and part of that formula is number 74. Each night, more and more people are coming around. He is one of the best in the league, if not the best right now. That, on top of all those other things that you said that have come together, they've got that. That tips your scales. That's what the Avalanche don't have right now. They got everything else, but that's what they're wondering. That can hurt you. But that let's also look at this, the Predators. We all wondered one thing at the beginning of the season. Would they have enough offense, right? You trade Ryan Ellis, trade Victor Arvidsson. You lost Cali Yarncroke. You know, last year's team didn't light up the scoreboard. We kind of wondered, can they get enough goals? They're scoring. They have the layers of scoring right now. Now, you still wonder, can they keep that going, right? Even in the games that Philip Forsberg, you know what their record is with Philip Forsberg not in the lineup?
Well, he's missed what?
He's missed 11 games.
11 games. I'm going to say 8-3.
You're close. 7-3-1. Then they score 5, and he's not there last night. So it's, you know, they have a group. They find ways to get enough offense on most nights. And that's becoming more apparent that like you said, that's not a fluke. Now, can they run hot and cold? I think all teams will do that. But I just really like their formula right now. If they can say, if they don't just get a wave of bad luck with guys going down for long stretches, which can happen injuries can derail a team for a while. But if they can keep putting this out there, I like where they're going. Whether they finish first or second or whatever, they look like they're going to be in this mix.
12-1-1 their last 14. Undefeated in 2022, 5-0. Let's see. Coming off the top of my head, what? 6 goals, 3 goals, 4, 4, and 5, right?
Yeah. You're getting frosties. You're getting a lot of frosties.
All but Vegas, I guess, was frosties.
Mm-hmm. And they were an empty net goal away from getting the frosties in that one. Missed by a couple of feet on a couple of shots at the empty net there. Holding off the but Vegas. But that was a big test last night. We said this on the show yesterday. Can you do it against the best teams? That was a question mark early. Remember they got run out of the gym, you know, run out of the arena the first time they played the Avalanche. They got beat bad at Winnipeg. You know, they had some lumps early in the season, but now you look at the last time and they're playing the elite teams, they're holding their own. They're getting their share of wins in places like that. That's a good sign. And they, yep. John Hines said it a bunch of times yesterday, we've got to keep growing, got to keep evolving. If we sit where we are, then that's still not where we want to be. We have to keep getting better if we're going to be successful. It's a good story unraveling, just like the Titans. And I agree. We had Mike Keith on our television broadcast last night. They were kind of had a theme in the arena last night, kind of saluting the Titans for what they've been doing. Caleb Farley was actually sitting in the stands representing the players. But Mike Keith said it. He goes, you have an opportunity to win if you're the Titans. Let's go get this thing. You know, you want, when you get the opportunity, seize it. And he even mentioned this. How about what the Grizzlies are doing? Anybody peek at what they're doing? They're on fire.
Well, I was going to say, I don't think the Grizzlies, the Titans, or the Predators have lost in the calendar year of 2022.
It's something to see.
Grizzlies won 10 straight.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Look
so
at
the answer
look
is
at
no,
who
they're
beating,
it.
Too. Look at who they're beating.
Yep.
Looks like Darren needs a break.
A little popcorn stuck in my throat.
Always a great idea to eat popcorn on the air.
That's what I get for, I didn't do it on the air during the break. I ate the Reese's popcorn, and that stuff's addicting. Like, get out of here, man. Get this bag out of here. Gosh, it's so good. The problem is popcorn can stick around in your throat, so, yeah, wasn't a good idea.
There was an announcer, I can't remember who it was, who told a story about eating popcorn before a broadcast. I think it was a former athlete that was becoming a broadcaster, and that was a lesson that he learned. Don't eat popcorn because it's usually there. You know, when you're in the press box, 9 times out of 10, they got a big bin with boxes of popcorn, or you scoop yourself a little thing. It's so tempting. It's right there. But you know, as a broadcaster, like, as soon as I eat this, it's all salty. It's going to dry up my mouth, and I'm going to get the kernels all over the place. And it's not going to sound good. But you still can't resist, right? It's still right there. It's popcorn. It's free. Right there.
Predators for years had a popcorn maker in the meeting room.
I can't resist.
I don't think it's not been up and running this year, though, right? No. But for years, they had popcorn readily available.
I think it's
and you're
still
right.
Up there.
You just can't. Is it?
I think it went away for a while, but I think they slowly are bringing that stuff back. I think. I got to. Now that I think about it, I've tried not to do it. I've tried to stay disciplined and not eat the popcorn on the game day.
Yeah, probably a good idea. All right, we'll come back. C-Mace to begin the final hour of the program. Right now I'm going to talk to you about my friends at Cool Springs MD. You know the story by now. You've heard me talking about them for years because they've been helping me for years become healthier and happier. And I hope you want that like I do. They've improved my quality of life, and we know it's challenging. As adults, it's challenging as we get older, and something we all struggle with at some point being adults is weight loss management, something they take very serious there. They've got programs and products and people. If you've veered off the path or you've tacked on some unwanted pounds around the holidays that you would love to shed, well, they can get you going back in the right direction. Rejuvenation, your appearance is important, and it also is challenging. The older we get, their staff can sit down and talk with you about PRP, hair removal, Botox, and finally, hormone therapy. Ever had your levels checked? If you've been feeling off lately, haven't had the same drive, haven't had the same energy, experiencing mood swings. These are just some of the things that could be affecting you. If your levels have dipped, it can affect you in all these areas if they've dipped to all-time lows, and that tends to happen as you get older. But their staff can discuss BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. They do it all, and they do it all under one roof out in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle. If you want to learn everything about them, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com, or you can always pick up the phone and schedule an appointment or a consultation by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.